So here we are with another episode of the Upgraded Life podcast. In this show, I'm super excited to have two wonderful ladies. I have Sarah Campbell and I have Jordan Marks, and they're both in different locations, but because of Zoom and technology and all that jazz, we can be all here in the same place. And if those names ring a bell, there's probably a reason for that. And the reason for that is, Jordan? Yes.
Now on Netflix. Go stream it. Tell your friends.
And that premiered on May 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been less than a month.
Yeah. I know. Time is flying. It's one of those things where when I'm not thinking about it and somebody mentions the show, I feel like it was forever ago. I'm actually thinking about it. I feel like it just came out yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't even feel like I've been on a show. Like, I feel like I've been so busy and had so many things going on that I keep forgetting until I turn the TV on. I'm like, hey, that's my face. That's Jordan's face.
Yeah.
And Sarah, I looked at some of the things that you have going on in your non-show life, right? In Intrigue Designs and Intrigue Community. And you were, I'm saying were because we're living in this COVID, you know, environment, but you were a busy lady. You were on tour and you were all over the place. And so I can kind of align with that. Where am I? What day is it? What am I doing? Where am I supposed to be? Right? Because that's how busy people operate. One day.
That sounds exactly like the mindset we were in at the time. Yeah. We had no idea what was happening. We were just like at the plane ticket notifications on our phone to tell us what airport we were supposed to be at what time.
Yeah. We never knew what time zone we were in, which was it was like a challenge in life to figure out what time zone you were waking up to.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Yeah.
But it was so crazy. I would do that tour again in a heartbeat. While we were doing it, we kind of felt like, oh my gosh, this is it. We can't go on. We can't ever do this again. And then once it's done, we're like, oh, let's do that again. That was great. Yeah.
So what was your favorite place that you went on tour? But if you were to go back to one place tomorrow, where would it be?
It might be Oregon, actually. I really like Oregon. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think I'd be torn between Oregon and New Orleans. We are in New Orleans a lot. Mm-hmm. I'd probably go Oregon. And I've been meaning to do a West Coast road trip anyway. So that would be.
And not Detroit. I thought for sure Detroit would pop in, Jordan. Detroit was one of my favorites.
Yeah, Detroit was great. But right now I have my mindset on that East Coast road trip.
All right.
So I'm from Oregon. Tell me about your visit to Oregon.
Oh my gosh, we were in Portland.
Was it your first time?
Not my first time. I actually have family that lives in Oregon, so I've been going back and forth since I was quite young, but it was my first time really without a pre-built agenda, aside from the work. Like, it was good to have some extra time to walk around, whereas normally I'm only there to visit family. The last visit there was kind of more adventure time, which was super fun.
I need to clarify what Jordan said. She just said that we had time to walk around and explore. The reason she feels that way is because this was the only tour stop in all of our national tour that we actually took a good 8 to 12 hours to explore. Normally, we explore in about an hour and 20. So that's why she felt like we had a lot of time. But we were only there for a day of exploring.
Yeah, it just sometimes the way the flights work out, we have a little extra, because that's really what it depends on, is what time is the plane coming? So yeah, that specific time we had a few extra hours, and I just went for a walk. We'll make time like before or after, like sometimes if I'm a big coffee person, I'm big into the coffee scenes. If we have a little extra time before the workshops, I'll set my alarm early, go find a cute coffee shop, walk around a little bit, but normally we're in and we're out.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. But didn't make it down to the Oregon Garden, huh?
Oh, we did. It was the very first thing we did. We woke up early in the morning. We were there the second it opened because we wanted to get some beautiful photos without all the people there. So we were the first group into the gardens.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fanfare behind that garden. It's pretty close to where I'm at. I'm only about a half hour away from there in Silverton. So it was
fun. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And what was this tour about?
So, oh gosh. So this tour started kind of on accident. We, so I teach workshops and classes to floral and event designers all over the country that have that passion for the wedding design industry. And, excuse me, before I was doing it all over the country, I was doing it here in Maryland. And I host an annual conference. It's actually a biannual conference now, that we bring in all these leaders and these really kind of thought-provoking floral designers that are making big moves in the wedding industry to teach a series of classes all together in one space. And it had been the third or the fourth time I had hosted this conference, and I decided that I wanted to take this conference outside of Maryland and just move into a new market. But I didn't know where our market was because I felt like I was connecting with people all over the country. So we decided we were going to do a bit of a marketing ploy. We were going to roll out, first of all, it was 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon when we decided to do this. We were going to roll out a national workshop tour. And we said, let's just put all the states in a line and we'll just do, you know, a 50 state national tour. And we rolled it out that night with the expectation that a few of the cities would sell, the cities that we had the most following would sell. And then on Monday morning, we would just pull out whatever cities didn't sell. And then the tour would go to the cities that had the most attention. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened was mind blowing. By Saturday, we'd sold almost across the entire country. By Sunday afternoon, we had sold in every single state, including Alaska, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico, because that was an accident. We didn't mean to put Puerto Rico on the list. Not that we don't love Puerto Rico, but it was an accident. It was unbelievable. So at that time, I'm still running a high-end wedding design firm where we're doing weddings every weekend, and they're not just a few bouquets. We're doing weddings that are starting at anywhere from 6 to 8 to 15,000, going upwards of 100,000 plus on a regular basis. So I had to make this decision as to what we were going to do. And this is actually before Jordan was with me. Part of the reason Jordan joined the team was because I needed a personal assistant because I was going to be doing all this traveling. So anyway, we decided that we weren't going to let anyone down. We were going to try to get to as many of these 50 states as we possibly could. We did have to pull a few of them simply for the fact that I am a human and right. I actually cannot do as much as I had laid out there. But we ended up hitting 42 states in 2018.
Wow. Well,
yeah. Yeah, we did. We hit 42 states in, you know, 50 weeks or whatever. And that was on top of doing the weddings and whatnot on the weekends. Wow. So we actually had a really great schedule where we would fly out somewhere on a Wednesday and then we'd fly back in. Sunday. We'd fly out somewhere on a Sunday, fly back in on a Wednesday. We'd prep for the wedding Thursday and Friday, and then the wedding on Saturday. And then we'd fly out on Sunday, come back on Wednesday, wedding prep Thursday, Friday, wedding on Saturday, fly out Sunday. For an entire year. And it was, I remember I had, at the time, my friends were like, do you ever get days off? And I was like, What days of the week do you suggest that I take off? There's no days of the week that we're not doing something.
If anyone looks at Jordan's schedule and what she has to do now in her job and gets jealous, all they need to do is look back to 2018 and they won't be jealous anymore. She's still making up, or I'm still making up, for everything she did that year.
Yeah, and even though we're home now, we're really not, I mean, we are working less like physical manual labor, but we're still working hard. Like, just because we're working from home and we're not touring at the moment does not mean we're not working. I think people get confused sometimes.
Oh, we are working considerably less than we worked that year.
That's very true. That is very true. We worked 24/7 that year, 24/7.
Absolutely. And that's an important piece for people to hear. Again, people see the end result, the product, you know, the thing that is out there flashed in front of us. But there was a season of grind behind that, right?
Very similar to the show, The Big Flower Fight. Like, what you see on TV is beautiful and fun and uplifting, and it was an amazing experience full of so many fantastic moments. However, you don't see, like, each challenge was 18, 16, 15 hours, and you're seeing maybe 45 minutes of all the best moments, but there's still 16 hours of hard, hard work behind the camera that's happening there.
Yeah. So tell me the story of how you two found each other. Cause that's an interesting story. I loved the little tidbit that I heard about it.
Yeah. So I'll take this one. So after I graduated college, I was one of those people who sold all my things, quit my job, and decided to go backpacking. I was backpacking for about a little over 2 years. I think it was about 2 years and 3 months. And it was just time to come home. My visas were expiring. I was kind of running out of options, running out of money. And I was having kind of a panic attack because I had not stepped foot on U.S. soil in nearly 2.5 years. I had friends, but I didn't have connections in terms of where to find a job, where to set up housing, things like that. And so I was telling everybody that I knew in the U.S., hey, I'm coming home. If you know of anybody who is hiring anybody for anything, let me know. Like, I have no expectations. My options are 100% open. And it was actually my mom who sent me a job listing from Sarah that had been posted on Facebook. And what stuck out to my mom was the fact that Sarah only lived about 25 minutes from my parents' house. So I could come back home, set up shop with them for a little while and work for Sarah. And Sarah's job listing was kind of a joke. Like, it was not meant to be an actual recruit for a person, I don't think. I think it was just the product of frustration with her not being able to find the right person to work for her. So it was things on this job listing were like, you know, must be able to work in an office with a really smelly dog, and must like spending hours and hours on Instagram, and must like booking plane tickets, like just really obscure things. And I responded as if, you know, this was what I was meant to do. I said, you know, here is why I'm qualified to work in an office with a smelly dog. Here are some facts about me that contribute to why I love Instagram, you know, things like that. And Sarah ended up, you know, emailing me back and said, hey, I think this would be a great fit. I was living in New Zealand at the time. I had about 3 weeks left on my visa. So after those 3 weeks, I came home. I started working for Sarah, which is something, no offense, Sarah, I love you so much, but I did not think it was going to be a permanent job. I thought I was going to come in, I was going to build up my bank account for a little while, and then I was going to move to Oregon, to California. And here we are, almost 3 years now? Almost 3 years later?
It'll be 4 in the fall.
Oh my gosh. Not what I expected. I don't think it's what either of us thought was going to happen, but here we are.
Well, you know, all I needed was a personal assistant. Like, I just needed someone who could help me get the laundry done and doctor's appointments and get my plane tickets. Jordan actually never was my personal assistant. From the day she showed up, it was just so clear that she had so much more potential than doing my laundry. I don't think I ever actually asked her to do any of that. As soon as I realized the brain power she had, and the fact that Jordan is one of these people that when she has a job and she's asked to do something that is outside of that job, she doesn't stop and say, excuse me, that's not what you hired me for. She just rolls with it. And as an entrepreneur and a busy mind, I needed someone who could just roll. So she very quickly turned into what we've called her as a communications director. And I asked her to come on tour with us, and which we hadn't budgeted for. And it wasn't the plan, but it worked out so well.
Yeah. And as somebody who's, you know, half of my personality is my love of travel, it worked out really well for me because I was like, well, that's perfect.
Right. Love it. And Sarah, she wasn't the first one that held that position with you, was she?
Oh my gosh, no. So the reason that the job description was a joke is I got so frustrated. You know, I've had lots of people work for me over the years, and long-term individuals that have been with me for years and years. But we were going through this transition. I closed my warehouse and was now working from home. And I was looking for a personal assistant because when you're working from home, you just are pulled in so many different directions. And I had a series, I think it was 4 people quit on me in the course of 6 weeks. One person quit literally because my dog smelled so badly, which he did. One person one person quit because I was asking them to do too much work, which I don't feel like I was. Like, work is a lot of work. And I don't remember why the other two quit, but everyone quit. And I'd never had that situation before. And I was just kind of frustrated. So I posted this joke of a advertising ad for an employee on my personal Facebook page. And Jordan's mother had happened upon it. And I don't know why Jordan took it seriously, or maybe she didn't and she was just having fun, but it worked.
Funny that you say that, Sarah, because I so distinctly remember writing that email. I was living in a hostel. So I was living on the bottom bunk in a room with 10 other people. So five other bunk beds. And there was this hostel cat and he was sitting on my lap. And I remember it was 8 o'clock or something, 8 o'clock early in the morning. And I opened up my computer and I just remember thinking, well, you know, here goes nothing. Like, might as well, right? Like, I have nothing to lose by responding to this email. And then I remember getting your email back that was like, hey, this could fit. And I was like, excuse me? And I'm so happy that it worked out that way. Yeah, when I started working for you and I heard that you were going on a national tour, I knew there was no way that you were doing that without me. Like, I was like, listen, if this is happening, I'm going to be a part of that.
So Jordan has a way, no matter what's happening in the intrigue business, if she wants to be part of it, she finds a way to make herself unexpendable. Is that a right statement? She finds herself indispensable. Thank you.
Welcome.
And if you can't live without her, you have to have her on the team, right?
Sorry about it.
Love it. Love it. So it's just, I mean, that's a beautiful story about how the two of you connected. And yeah, there's a lot of awesome things that have occurred just because two people had an idea, had a vibe, had a vision. And mm-hmm. even though there was frustrating parts of it, you still pushed forward and Wonder Twin Powers Unite, right? Yeah, I love that part. So Sarah, you've been in this industry, you've been doing what you do now for quite a while. And I'd like to hear about how you got started in that. What made you kind of push yourself into that realm? And yeah, let me hear that. What's that been like for you?
This is my favorite story.
I actually don't tell this story very often. So I think I can count on one hand how many times I've actually told this story. And it's scary to share my story. It is. All right, so here goes. I didn't start my life in a positive direction. I'm very happy with the choices I made because they led me where I am, but I struggled a lot. I dropped out of high school. I ended up being 19 years old with a baby and a very quick marriage that ended almost as quickly as it started. So I had no high school diploma, no direction. This baby I had to take care of. And I was living on welfare. And I knew that was not the way it wasn't the life that I wanted for my daughter, who's actually right now sitting across from me. It feels even weirder telling the story with her here. So I think I was about 21 or 22 when I was just feeling, even less, it might've been 20. I was just feeling desperate. I needed some direction. And when I was a kid, I remember my dad would have these books on tape. My dad was an entrepreneur in his own right. And he had these books by an author, I can't remember his name at the moment, but it was the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I only remember one of the habits. I'm sure their other habits are great, but the one habit that has stuck with me is begin with the end in mind. And that kind of hit me at that moment when I was feeling so desperate. And I realized that I need to set goals. Like, begin with the end in mind is setting a goal as to where you're going to go, right? So I set these goals that in my mind were so high in the sky that were almost unachievable. And they were, now looking back, and they were pretty basic. Like, I wanted to be married to someone who just loved me beyond anything. I wanted to own my own business. I wanted to own a house. I wanted a white picket fence, Do you remember what the other one is, Jordan? I know I've told you about these. There's one more. I don't remember. I don't remember what the other one. There was five of these goals. And I remember I wrote them down and I just kept thinking about this. And that started to help move my life in the motion it needed to go. I started working in what I call like office jobs to help move myself up. And I got to a point that, you know, even though at that time I'd gotten a GED and I'd taken some college classes, I'd gotten to a point that financially I knew I was never going to grow. Like I was going to be stuck where I was unless I made some big changes. And I still had these big goals. Fortunately at that time, I'd already married the man that I am still married to this day and head over heels in love with. You will see him on Instagram popping up here and there. And as working towards my goals, I knew I wanted to have my own business. And the first business I started was an accounting firm, which is so funny because that is so far from what I should be doing. And then I was watching on television and there was a show, and it's had to be, this was in the late 90s to early 2000s. It was called Whose Wedding Is It Anyway? It was a wedding planner's show. And I was obsessed with the wedding industry. I didn't even realize that you could have a job in the wedding world. And I'd always, as a kid, I'd always loved pretty parties, and I had loved just glamour, and being involved with weddings just seemed like it would be perfect. So I'm going to kind of jump over the story a little bit. There's a lot more detail into how that came to be, but essentially I started my own wedding planning firm, and wedding planning led me into floral design, which I didn't realize that floral design was where my passion was until it was right around the time that the economy was changing. I think it was in the 2007, 2008 timeframe. I could be wrong. I'm terrible with dates. And my wedding planning side of my business was slowing, and I was looking for other opportunities. And then I got pushed into flowers. This is another long story. I don't know if we have time for it. So the way I got pushed into flowers was I had realized that I wanted to have more control over the design portion of weddings. And in my area, there wasn't a lot of forward-thinking floral and decor designers. So I'd connected with a freelancer, and we'd worked out this plan that she was going to produce the floral and decor for the weddings. I was going to do the event design. So she would never have to talk to clients. Brides made her very nervous. And I understand some people get nervous with weddings. So because she was this nervous, I took all of the sales, all of the marketing part, and just filtered these weddings through her that she could produce. And I knew that every time I talked to her about a wedding, she was anxious. And that kind of continued to evolve in the course of this business relationship until this one wedding, and I'm pretty sure it was a November wedding. I can remember the details of every piece of this like it was the birth of my child. And I get this call from this woman. Her name is Pearl, and she was frustrated and anxious and crying. She could not handle the wedding. I went into wedding planner mode, and I told her, don't worry about it. I'll come. I'll get the flowers. I'll set everything up. You don't have to, don't stress. And I unpacked my white trailblazer and I live in the country. So we drove these back country roads to get to her house. And as I arrive, you know, it's November, so it's cold. And I see all the boxes, the flower boxes, all lined up on her porch. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, it's so wonderful. She covered all the boxes so that the flowers wouldn't get damaged in the cold. So I loaded all the boxes into my trailblazer, barely even had enough space to get all the boxes in. And I drove them home. When I drove them home, I kind of debated whether I left them in the car overnight or bring them into the garage. And I opted to bring them into the garage. And then I couldn't handle the excitement because I love flowers. And I had to peek at the flowers before I went in for the night. And I opened the box, all excited to see the beautiful design that she had created. And what I looked at in the box was shocking. So I know you are not in the floral world, so I'm going to explain this in detail. When flowers come wholesale from the growers in Ecuador and Holland or wherever they're coming from, they come packed very tight in cellophane and cardboard. What I had in my possession was box upon box of wholesale flowers, not designed flowers. And I had never touched flowers in my life. So being the person that I am, I don't, you know, it doesn't help to call and freak out and yell at someone for not doing what they were supposed to do. Like, if you're in a situation where something needs to be done, you just have to do it. So I just use what I knew, you know, flowers need water. So I started taking them out of the box and putting them in water. And there was a relatively new website out there that was offering these online tutorials. It was YouTube, and I say it was relatively new. I don't know how new YouTube was in 2007, but I got to tell you, there was not much floral design content on. There's still not that much floral design content on YouTube. So I used that. I used some of the books, and then I just tried to figure it out. And I stayed up all night, destroyed the carpet in my living room, but I got these flowers designed, and I drove them to the wedding, set everything up, and I avoided that bride like she had COVID. Like, I was staying as far away from her as possible because I was just so afraid that she was going to be upset. I'm so afraid this work wasn't as good as she was expecting it to be. And at the end of the night, I see the bride walking towards me. And at first, I'm terrified. And then I realize she's smiling. A smile is always, almost always a good thing. And she's got this woman on her arm. And she walks up to me. I could tell she was just so full of joy. And she starts thanking me for the wedding and the flowers. And then her aunt, she introduced me to her aunt, who's a woman on her arm, who happened to be the White House florist. And this woman paid a compliment to the designs I'd created. To this day, I don't know if that was a real compliment or she was being polite. Either way, that boost, that little boost from this woman on my bride's arm gave me the momentum and the power to continue designing for my brides. And once I found flowers, once I realized that I could stay up for 36 hours straight, plan a wedding, design a wedding, and still have energy because I loved what I was doing, I knew that was where I was supposed to be. I now don't stay up for 36 hours designing a wedding. but that's how I got my start. And I'm so grateful that it was so aggressively pushed on me because it was trial by fire. And yeah, that's that story.
Perfect. I love it. Jordan, you know her story well. So what's something that you would highlight or something that maybe she skipped over?
I mean, that's a good chunk of it. That was a pretty good, a lot of detail there. One of my favorite part, well, I don't know if I'm going to start saying this and then Sarah, if you don't want me to say it, just tell me to stop. One of my favorite parts of Sarah's story is somewhere in between where she was struggling with her, you know, being 19, having a new baby, and decided to do something about, you know, her position. Well, she took a cross-country train trip. Isn't that right, Sarah?
I forgot all about that. Yeah.
You know, I love traveling. So that's one of my favorite parts is that but it's funny because that's kind of what I did as well after I graduated college and I felt a little lost and I wasn't quite sure what I was doing. My first thought was, you know what, I'm just going to go somewhere else and see something and travel and figure it out along the way. And I think that's kind of similar to what you were doing, no?
So what Jordan's talking about is actually what spurred me to write these goals. So I think I turned 20 at that time. My daughter was maybe 4 or 5 months old. And I was really feeling lost and without direction and pretty hopeless. And I didn't even have a place that I felt like was my home. And I saw that Amtrak had this, like, you could go anywhere you wanted on Amtrak for 90 days for like $300. And I had like $390 in my bank account. And I spent $300 on this train ticket. And I was a nursing mom. So really all I needed was a carry bag and my baby. And I just got on a train and I went, and I didn't really have a plan. But I took that time to kind of see things and get to know people and really focus on taking care of this little life that I had the responsibility of. And it was during those weeks on that train, seeing America, that I actually was able to set those goals that have helped carry me through my life. So thanks for the reminder, yeah. Jordan.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I also really love that in the top two things that you specified that you needed, one of them was your baby. And I'm just glad that you clarified that you brought that you needed the baby. Yeah. But I interesting, at least for me, and I know for Sarah and for some other people, the things that will happen when you take yourself out of your element and remove your normal distractions, it really opens your mind up to a lot of exploration that can lead really amazing things.
Yeah. Incredible yeah. story there. So that book or those tapes that you were mentioning, Sarah, that's Stephen Covey, right? Seven yeah. Habits yeah. of Highly Effective People, right?
Yeah.
And I love that because one of the projects I have in my hopper is to write a book and do a series on guru speak, right? And so you just shared with us a piece of guru speak, which is, you know, start with the end in mind. And that's one of those things where, okay, that sounds good. You may read it in the book. You may hear it from somebody that has authority, but I loved how you put that out there and actually described practically what that was like for you to start with the end in mind and just keep pushing forward. Cause my hunch is, my bet is that there were times when you wanted to quit, like this wasn't working. What am I doing? But something in there said, nope, I have to keep going. Is that true or am I off base on that?
I think from the time I kind of set that goal, I didn't give myself space to question what I was doing. I just had to do. Mm-hmm. Now at the point I am in my life now, and now I question all of it. I was like, now I want to quit all the time as I start doing things that are bigger. And like, I wanted to quit on the big flower fight. I didn't, but that was hard. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, there was even a moment about 6 months into that national tour we did when Sarah and I looked at ourselves and said, realistically, is this something we can keep doing? Because it was so difficult, but you have to put yourself through that situation if you're expecting any sort of growth in life. I'm sure people have gotten places by quitting, but I guarantee you they quit and then did something else. They didn't sit down and go, well, that we tried, too bad.
Right.
Always something else on the horizon. And you just got to push through those moments.
Yeah.
I think it's also
for a reason.
I think it's also important to make sure you're surrounding yourself with people that will help you push. If you're surrounded with people that make you comfortable all the time and will let you quit and be like, oh, it's okay. You did it. You tried, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Jordan and I don't let each other quit. That I think is part of what makes our work relationship so special is we push each other. So when I was ready to quit, Jordan was pushing me through, like sometimes more aggressively. And and when she was ready to quit, I was pushing her through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so true. You got to have your people around you that, you know, ideally they're going to have the same vision. But if not, you're going to know each other well enough that you can say, just like you were doing, Jordan.
No. Yeah.
And
there are times when we need that from one another. And sometimes you don't even realize that you need that until somebody says, hey, snap out of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes more loving, like it's not always snap out of it. Sometimes if I'm having a rough time and Sarah sees that, she'll just say something as simple as, hey, you're really good at your job.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh gosh, I forgot that I actually know what I'm doing. Like I forgot for a second. Thank you for reminding me that I actually know what's happening here.
Yeah,
that is the one thing I feel like when we were on this show that got cut out completely, but Jordan and I tell each other we're doing a good job all the time. To the point that our cast members would laugh because they're like, oh, Sarah's doing a good job. Jordan's doing a good job.
They really would. You'd hear it echoing through the dome throughout the set when Sarah would say, Jordan, you're doing a good job. Or I'd say, Sarah, you're doing a really good job. People would get, oh, they're doing a good job again, guys. But everybody needs different things. And I think Sarah and I are both people who don't function well in a hostile environment or when we're mad at each other. Like sometimes we just have to have a little fight and then say, okay, you know what? We're moving on. We're good at our jobs. Let's go do something. Let's go do it. There's only so much time we could spend in a negative headspace and expect positive things to get done. That's not how it works.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy when I first saw, I don't know if everyone knows what we're talking about, but there's one of the episodes on the show that Jordan and I have an argument. Let's take it back. I have an argument with Jordan while she's being very patient. And I really appreciate that they put this in there, even though I didn't appreciate it at first, because I like that it shows that you don't always get along perfectly. Like, teamwork is a struggle sometimes, and sometimes one person isn't listening as well as the other or isn't performing as well as the other. And there is no time to just sit around and be mad. Like, you just jump in, you take care of the problem, and then go back to appreciating each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this show is about mindset, and my work as a coach, you know, I just believe that mindset is key. It's critical. It's foundational. And so I love the fact that the two of you are just teeing this up for me and for folks that plug into this yeah. show, because I mean, you're breaking down all the things that I believe and teach, and mm-hmm. that piece about you're doing a good job, right? That for me, that's a reminder. And so when, you know, when things get tough, or when you feel that part of you saying, oh, this is stupid, or this isn't going to work. But in your case, that time is ticking, right? You know, and that reminder of you're doing a good job is enough to kind of snap you out of whatever that funk you're in and keep you moving. And so I love that. And I also love that those other people on the cast, you know, were kind of maybe having some fun with it, but I guarantee you they are going to carry that through the rest of their lives, right? I guarantee it they will.
I hope so.
Yeah. And I also want to, you know, highlight, Sarah, the fact that, okay, going back to that, you know, start with the end in mind, and how you had those goals, you had that vision for your life, but you had to find the right vehicle to get there, right? And office jobs to CPA firm, you know, but the goals were still there for you. And then when you finally found the thing that was going to get there and help you get to your goals, and that's the difference, right? Where some people say we don't quit. Well, yeah, you don't quit on your dreams, right? You don't quit on your vision. You may have to take a different path to get there, but that's what it means for me anyway, to not quit. And a 9-to-5 desk job wasn't going to do it for you, right? And so, right. But you needed to have that experience to realize it wasn't going to do it for you.
I think I also needed to have that experience to give me some life experience and how to communicate and interact. And I feel like I'm better working with my clients because I had that desk job, because I had a boss, because, I learned to communicate with people in a professional setting, that if I just jumped into my own business right away, I don't know that I would have done as well.
Sure. Yeah. So that's a perfect tip too, right? So don't take whatever situation you find yourself currently in for granted, right? Learn as much as you can from it, because it's all necessary. It's all part of your plan. It's all part of your journey. You two are shaking your head. So I guess I'm speaking to the choir there.
Absolutely.
So get me from when you're on this tour, right, in 2018 to when that kind of invitation came for Big Flower Fight. Like, how did that work, and kind of, you know, give me a peek into that.
Sure. So the casting directors had found me on Instagram, which I'm very active in the flower world on social media. And then by the time I talked to them, they'd had a series of people also telling this casting director, you need to talk to Sarah Campbell. So it felt like a very warm call by the time we actually connected with them. And they had told me we needed to be a team. So Jordan was not my first thought for a team member to go to a floral design competition, because Jordan doesn't do flowers. Jordan is the opposite side. He doesn't touch flowers. So of course I started to reach out to some of my flower friends to get a really great pairing. And in the course of that, Jordan wasn't going to let this opportunity go. So I'm going to let Jordan take the rest of this conversation.
Well, Nick, you remember when we talked about the fact that I like to make myself indispensable when I see an opportunity that sounds like it's something I would enjoy. My degree is in performance, is in theater performance. So I have already had a running career on stage and on screen. And when Sarah started talking about the fact that there was this TV show opportunity, my first thought was, hold on a second. I'm literally trained for this, for exactly this thing. And then...
Wait. You weren't trained exactly for that thing. It was flowers. Go on.
That's true. Not exactly for the subject matter, but for the overall arc of, you know, filming, I knew I could be... I was good at that. That is a talent of mine. But that was, I didn't lead with, hey, Sarah, I want to be on TV. It's a dream come true for me. I took the time to actually listen to what Sarah was saying. And there were two things she was saying the most when it came to finding her partner. Number one is, how am I going to find a floral designer who has the time in the middle of wedding season to do something like this? And number two, how am I going to keep running my business if I'm alone on the other side of the country? And that's where I kind of said, well, Sarah, what if number one, it wasn't a floral designer? Because, you know, clearly that's a struggle to find somebody with the time. And number two, you wouldn't need help running your business if you brought your business, which is me, with you. And for a second, I think Sarah's like, oh, that's not going to work. You've never touched flowers before in your life. Like, this is just not realistic. But then kind of just as a winging it, we took it to the production team and said, hey, what if this world-renowned international superstar of a florist brought her behind-the-scenes assistant who has never designed flowers one time in her entire life? And the production team kind of went, that's gold. That is good content right there. That is something that creates a good vibe for filming. And so lucky for me, that's what ended up happening.
Yeah, I don't think I thoroughly understood how, you know, Jordan had been with me for 3 years, and she had been to almost every single workshop and class I had taught. But I'd forgotten that she was the one, that she wasn't actually like doing the designs. I wasn't teaching her design as we were going through all these classes. So I actually thought it might've been easier than it really was. I think it was day one when we first started our first episode that I realized I have to teach her everything from how to properly cut the flower to how to secure it. Like some of these things I thought were so basic, kind of common knowledge. They're not common knowledge to someone who's never done them.
Yeah. So when we're on tour, I'm always in the room when Sarah's teaching, but it's not my job to be learning in that environment. My job is to be running social media, writing our email campaigns, doing our marketing, making sure the attendees are taken care of. So I knew some things in theory. I know I hear what Sarah does and what she's saying, but I'm never looking or watching or doing. So when we got there, that was definitely an awakening, but it was also eye-opening because we were not expecting to be doing exactly the things that we were doing. Like when they recruited us for a design show, we didn't ask many questions. If somebody presents us an opportunity that we think is a good one, we just say yes, and then we figure it out along the way.
Right.
So we said yes, and they said we're making a design TV show, and we were picturing bouquets, centerpieces, things along that nature. We were not accepting 12-foot tall lemur statues when we signed up for the show. So when we rolled up to set and they were like, we saw those things, our first thought was, oh boy, oh man, this is gonna be hard. And it was.
A great big gnome coming out of the ground.
Like I laughed. If I had told myself 2 years ago the things that I would have done at this point in my life, I just would have laughed.
Right.
Absolutely would have laughed and said, when am I ever going to be asked to make a gnome out of plants? Never.
Never.
Well, yeah. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
You know, the nice part about having Jordan with me, even though she didn't have some of that design skill and experience that I could have used, the way that she was able to support our team was incredible because she trusted me. So if I had a design direction, we didn't fight for control of design. She trusted me. And not only that, she knew how to support me. She always knew, go for the colorful, go for the the blooming plants. Like, so together we were strong, unless you want us to be a landscaper and a architect, in which case you'll just have to watch the show.
Yeah, man. I remember the first time they were like, hey guys, power saws. And me and Sarah said, what? What kind of a saw?
To be fair, Jordan, they gave us that long list of stuff and said, what do you know how to use? And I read it as, what do you know what it is? And
yeah.
We hire contractors in our business when we need to have something built or welded or hammered. You know, I focus on the soft product, the flowers. I hire people to do that stuff. So I knew what all the things were and how they work. I just didn't know how to work them with my own hands.
But I think sometimes that may have actually played into our advantage, or I know at least I felt like it did for me as somebody with no design knowledge, because I had no real preset notion of how anything was supposed to be done. So instead of doing things the way they were supposed to be done, the first thing that came to my mind was always, what's the easiest way this can be done? What's the most practical way this can be done? Instead of focusing, here's how it usually works. It was all, how does it work right now in this setting? So I may not have known a lot about actually putting flowers into things, but I think it worked. I mean, it worked okay sometimes. No, not all the time. You got to watch the show. Didn't work well for me all the time. Sometimes it did.
Yeah. Perfect. So you two, we're going to get to the point where we're going to wind down this show. It's been super fun for me. Again, super grateful for you two to take the time for this. But so here's my question. It's going to be a prompt, and you two get to finish it. So I'll let Jordan go first, and then we'll move to Sarah. So here it is. Big flower fight is, and then you finish the sentence.
Oh, big flower fight is... Can I say big flower fight was?
Yeah.
Can I say, okay. Big flower fight, when I think I look back on the experience, big flower fight was for me a tool that I didn't realize I needed to open up my view of what I bring to the table in a certain situation. Being put in a place where you are the underdog, you are unexperienced, you are not at the top of the food chain, really forces you to reexamine, okay, if I am none of those things, then what is my value in this situation? How do I use that to make my voice heard in a way that is helpful to this situation? And then by taking those tiny little stepping stones of thought, suddenly you're really understanding your worth and your value and using your voice to speak up on behalf of the things that you know you are good at. And for me, that's something that I've carried even past the show, now learning to use my voice and my worth and my privilege on behalf of others and on behalf of myself to reach kind of a higher realization of self-worth and of what I can bring to the table at any given time.
I love that. That was way more than a sentence, but that's perfect. I love
it. Yeah, it's a lot. If you just make it a run-on sentence, you replace all the periods with commas.
I almost stopped Jordan and said, great, that but shorter.
Yes. Oh, so that is something, that's an inside joke that they used to tell us on set all the time when they would ask us questions. Sarah and I can talk forever, and we would always give them these run-on answers, and one of the producers would say, guys, that was great, shorter. Way shorter, and be like, oh, man, okay.
Love it. Sarah, your turn. Big Flower Fight is or was?
Big Flower Fight is an eclectic mix of characters all scrambling to create these over-the-top designs using products and tools many of them have never touched before, and it shows community and connection and beauty all together. So I guess the big flower fight is just this beautiful respite from the rest of the world for us to enjoy.
Love it.
I love the difference in our two answers, because I think that speaks so well to who we are as a team, is that there's always one of us who is like lofty and dreamy, right? the stratosphere, and the other one was like practical. And it didn't go back and forth on which one of us fills that those shoes. That was funny because mine was so like lofty and hypothetical, and Sarah's like, it's a TV show.
Yep, that's us.
Love it. I love it so much.
So Sarah, I want you to speak to specifically the young ladies and women that'll be tuning into this, who maybe are, you know, young in life, and they have the things that are life is throwing at them. They have a vision, they have a dream, but they might not know what the next step is, or they might just be, you know, racked with fear about taking that first step. What would you say to them based on everything that you've done and where you've come to be? How would you encourage them?
Sure. First, I'd like to start by taking out, it doesn't have to be ladies, it doesn't have to be women, and it doesn't matter your age. Because if you find yourself in a place where you just feel like life cannot get any worse, if you find yourself in a place that you're just feeling pushed down and exhausted by the power of the world, which is, it can feel crippling, then I assure you there is a difference out there, and you won't be able to see it. And don't worry that you can't see it. Don't worry that if you can't even figure out what your goals are, don't worry about it. Just start moving towards what feels like a more positive direction. Because I got to tell you, when I set those goals, I had no actual real belief I would ever hit them. And I feel like I hear these motivational people talking and they're like, I knew I could do it. Nope. Never. I never knew I could do it. There was never a time I said, yes, I'm going to do this. I just continued to do things in what I knew was a step forward. And when I took those steps back, I didn't get stressed about the fact that I wasn't going the right direction. I just continued to move. Mm-hmm. Did that answer your question?
No, I love it. So, you know, you didn't necessarily have the belief that you could do it, whatever it is, but you knew that you could take the next step and that you could take the next step, whatever that was going to be. So that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
And I job hopped a lot. When I kind of went into that corporate world, I job hopped about once every 6 months to a year. I would go to a new job and I would put my 100% effort into that job. I would be mastering the small project I was working on, and then I would move to another and another. I was always looking for something until I found what my thing was.
Awesome. So this is typically the point in the show where I ask my guests to give their take on mindset, but the two of you have already done that in a big way. You know, it's just, and I had no idea that, you know, it would go that direction, but the two of you have just showcased what it means to, you know, be your own best asset and resource. And yeah, you did it. Absolutely.
Jordan, you're good at your job.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Hey, Nick, you're good at your job.
I love it. Yeah. I received that. So for folks that are listening, where can they find you? How can they connect with you if they wanted to follow up? Tell us where to find you out there.
Well, I'm always on Instagram. That is my favorite form of communication. It's intrigue_designs with an S. And you can usually get to Jordan there too, because I tag her all the time. But Jordan, where can they find you?
I am also a big Instagram user. Sarah and I love Instagram. And you can find me. I am at the Jordy, J-O-R-D-I-E, Journey, at the Jordy Journey.
And if you want to learn floral design or business from the business and marketing from a florist, we teach dozens and dozens of classes on our site. It's intrigueteaches.com. Everything is directed and hyper focused to the floral design niche.
Yeah, nice. And I also want to point out, and I love the fact that you did a COVID recovery segment on your teaching platform, you know, free of charge. So I love that you are reaching out to the people and helping them in this time of need.
Yeah, that was a big labor of love for us, because we saw so many people within the floral industry struggling, and so many educators were putting out really amazing, valuable, impactful content, but it was so spread out. And sometimes, speaking of mindset, you know, when things are hard, sometimes putting in the effort to hunt out those assets that you need or those resources feels like a mountain of a task. And so Sarah and I wanted to make one place where people who were feeling like they just couldn't face the beast that is the internet, to find everything from all of the educators that were putting out great content. So that was, a really important thing for us to do, I think.
So essentially, we strained all that information to make it really relate to our florists and our flower world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Love it. And that it speaks to the hearts that the both of you have, hearts of gold, and doing what you can to use your reach, use your resources to lift other people's up. And that's what this is all about. That's what the Upgraded Life is all about. So thanks.
We'll try.
Thanks you too for coming on.
I like the title.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us. This has been awesome.
Yeah, it's been a blessing.
It really has.
All right, take care. That was such an incredible time for me. I just loved everything about that discussion that I got to have with Jordan and Sarah. And I got to be honest, I spent a lot of time today editing and mixing and producing this episode. I do have a team member that's international that typically does this for me, but I just wanted to do this one on my own. And as I was playing clips and editing clips and filtering out noise, I just found myself with a great big smile on my face. And that just proved to me how much I like doing what I'm doing with this podcast, how much I love doing it, and just how much I was just blessed by this conversation with these two ladies. Both Sarah and Jordan dropped so many pearls in this discussion about what people can do, what you can do to upgrade your mindset. So to recap and to highlight, Jordan talked about things that we can say to ourselves. I call those reminders. When things are starting to get tough, when things get dicey, you can use a reminder. You're doing great, was their reminder that they used on the show Big Flower Fight. And Sarah really showcased what it takes to have a vision, set big goals for your life, and keep moving one foot in front of the other until you get there. It's that attitude of, I will until. I will keep moving forward until I have achieved the goals that fuel my vision every single day. Sarah and Jordan are go-getters, and I hope that you got that through the things that they talked about in this discussion with me. I've been inspired. I hope that you're inspired, and I hope that you are able to take what you learned today from these two women and start applying it in your life right now. As always, I'm going to put all the ways that you can connect with Sarah and Jordan in the show notes attached to this episode. In order to get those show notes, you have to go over to my website, and that is www.nicksotelo.com/TUL podcast, the Upgraded Life Podcast. If you ended up loving this episode as much as I did, show your love to me over on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review and something that you loved from this episode. Hey, I have a goal. I'm trying to get 100 5-star reviews in the year 2020, and I'm sitting right at about 35 as this episode is being recorded. So help me hit that goal to hit 100 5-star reviews. In addition to this podcast, I am also here for you in several ways. One is I'm available to be a coach. If you've taken in this episode, you've heard my other episodes, and you're wondering what it would look like to hire me as a coach, here's the easy first step. All you have to do is go over to my website, click the button that says schedule a time with me. I'll give you a free 30-minute session. And if it looks like we can work together, I'll let you know in that session. And at the very least, you're going to leave that call with some clarity about your next steps. Another way that I can help you is to show you a way to add extra income into your current financial picture. And all that takes is for you to click the button called Income Boost. I'll send you a free 20-minute presentation. That's all I ask, 20 minutes of your time. When you're done with that presentation, just tell me yes, no, or maybe, and I'll honor that response. And finally,
I want to let you know about the CBD products that I use from Nature's Ultra. I'm an active guy. I work in a physical environment, and I come home sometimes with bumps and bruises. I got two teenage boys, and believe me, they deliver bumps and bruises to me as well. And I have greatly benefited by Nature's Ultra CBD, and I want to be able to share that with you as well. That's a button that you can find on my website as well. On the top, just click CBD info, and you'll get a short presentation on Nature's Ultra CBD products. Thanks again for tuning in. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to tune into what I have to say, what my guests have to say. And I do this because I want you to realize and reach your potential. I'll catch you on the next show.